If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. And I want to begin reading tonight with verse number 17. And I just stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God tonight as we read from His blessed Word. 1 Samuel 10 and beginning in verse 17. The Scripture says, "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, "Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people, from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all of the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us? How shall they?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. You may be seated as we pray. Father, we are indeed grateful to you tonight for the privilege of being back in your house. Thank you for these dear people that have turned aside to come this way this evening. Thank you for the good singing, Lord, that we've heard that's stirred our heart and moved in our heart. And Lord, helped us to catch a little glimpse of you and your glory. I pray, Father, now as we stand with your word, that you might give us liberty and freedom to stand and preach tonight. Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I need you, Father, to do for me tonight what I cannot do for myself. Lord, you know these people that are gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch each one of them. You know their individual needs. You know their individual desires. And Lord, you know what individually you would have them to do for your glory and for your honor. And I pray, Father, that we might be sensitive to your touch tonight, that you might do for us and in us and through us what we need. Bless this church. Bless this mission conference. May this be the best conference that they've had. May they have a greater vision, a greater burden in these days than ever before. May your presence be more real and more precious to them. And Lord, may you work in a very special way in these days. Do pray for Brother Barker tonight. You'd touch him as he recovers from open heart surgery. And I pray you'd strengthen his body, encourage his heart, lift him up, help him, dear Father, tonight. And I pray that you'd meet every need he has during this time. And Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our midst as only you can. Father, forgive me where I've failed you and where I've come so short of your glory. I pray, Father, that you'd touch me tonight and help me to stand in this place, I pray. And Lord, we'll be so careful to thank you, to praise you, to honor you for all that you do. For we ask it in that name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. As we look at these verses that I've read tonight, I want to draw your attention back to verse 26 for our text verse. And this verse says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." And I want to speak on that thought for just a little bit this evening. Men whose hearts God had touched. If you'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 8, it's there that we pick up the story of Israel's choice of a king. And in that chapter, you will find that the children, the elders of Israel had decided that they no longer needed God to be their king and to be their leader and their director, but they wanted to be like all of the other nations in the world. And they wanted to have a king that they could see, a king that they could hear speak to them, a king that they may even have the opportunity to reach out and to touch and know that he was real and that he was the leader of their nation like other nations. But you know, this didn't catch God off guard. Because if you go back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 36, you'll find that God had prophesied 350 years before Israel had a king that this day would come when they would want a king. And that day has come. Now, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And my, what a mistake the nation of Israel made in so choosing. But I want to notice tonight not the choosing of Saul, or how Saul reigned, or even if Saul should have been chosen as king. But I want to draw your attention to this band of men who followed Saul and see if we can apply these things to us today. Three or four things I just want to draw your attention to regarding these men. First of all, you'll see here in verse 26 that these men were changed. The Bible said, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." The implication that I get from this verse is that in the beginning, they may have had reservations about Saul themselves. Perhaps they were opposed to even having any king rule over them other than God. There may have been just opposed to Saul being the king, because after all, he was a Benjaminite. And after all, he was so much bigger than they were, and they were intimidated by him. Maybe they wanted someone else to be king. Or there could have been other reasons that we're not familiar with. Notice the band of men. The word band in the Hebrew here means it was an army. It was a great force, a company of men, a host of men. One, just three or four men here and three or four men there. But this was a group of mighty, strong, valiant, virtuous men that as they were involved in the ceremony, as they were listening to Samuel and they were looking at Saul, that suddenly God did something in these men's heart that changed them that I don't believe they ever got over. Amen. But notice those last five words of verse 26. Whose hearts God had touched. My question for you tonight, has God touched your heart? You see, you'll never really see the vision of missions till you have a heart change. You'll never see the need for us to give more and to do more for God until our hearts are changed. What this sign says is true. Missions is the heartbeat of God. Is your heart beating for God? Perhaps is the question tonight. These men's hearts were touched. They did not anticipate this move when they went to this ceremony. That touch transformed these men into servants. Whatever the problem was, whatever the reason they did not want to go with Saul or didn't choose Saul or didn't know whether he would make the good king that they needed or not, when God touched them, they changed. They were willing to follow Saul wherever he went. Not only because of Saul, but because of God's touch. And I found out in the 55, almost 56 years that I've been preaching, that we will never do anything like God wants us to do it until we have His touch on our hearts and on our lives. We will never give to missions like God wants us to give until God has touched our hearts. This touch can bring about salvation. It's amazing how God's touch can bring forgiveness of sins to those who oppose God and who oppose His plan and His will. I don't know how many times through these years that I've had people say, I don't understand why we need to give to missions. I think we ought to reach our community here and give to our city and give to our community. And when we get everything settled here, then we'll worry about those across the world. But that's not what God's word tells us. God says we're to be witnesses both at Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's at the same time. We are to be involved in all directions of His ministry. But His touch can bring cleansing power to those of that will yield themselves totally to God. You see, His touch makes everything new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. His touch can change our minds about service. You see, once saved, God places us in a church and He gives us a pastor that can lead us and guide us and direct us and show us what we need to do for God. How we need to have our hearts touched by God tonight. that we might follow God's man, that we might follow God's leadership, that we might be willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you would have me to do, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be. Whatever it is, God, I'm willing to change everything I had planned, everything I had looked to do, everything about my life. At a moment's notice, these men said, we're going with the king. We're going to follow the king. Wherever he goes, we're going. Why? Because God has touched my heart and called me to do so. Now, we're not following a king tonight. As good a man as Brother Wilkins is, and as good a wife as Miss Donna is, you don't need to follow the king and the queen without following God first. And if you're following God, you'll follow God's man. You'll be what God wants you to be to this church. If your heart's ever been touched, if your heart has ever been changed, if you've ever got the vision of this church and of this pastor, and if you will let God change you, he will let you unite your hearts together to do a work for God here that you never thought possible could be done. Not because of Brother Wilkins, but because of him. That is the one that we need to be following tonight. Can God change you? Are we so stubborn and so set in our ways and so hard-headed and so thinking we know more than anybody else about how things ought to be done that we can't listen to that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? As far as I know, looking at this scripture, these men never boasted about what happened. They never told anybody out about what happened. I'm sure they probably told their families, as we'll see here in just a moment. But these men's hearts had been touched by God, and he changed their hearts. But not only did he change them, but you see here in verse 26 as well, he controlled them. He controlled them. And Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men. By the touch of God, his Holy Spirit made the difference in these men's life, whatever their feelings were before. The touch of God had unified their feelings. Whatever their plans, whatever their intentions before they had got to this place, they laid it all at the Lord's feet and said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to give, whatever their intentions were, they laid them down at the Lord's feet and followed the king. And wherever he wanted them to go, they just got behind the king and said, we're going. They came under the control of the Spirit of God. His will was their will. Now, this may have changed whole family plans. I mean, they're gathered there on this occasion for the purpose of anointing a king over Israel. They may have, all of a sudden, they had an unplanned move. All of a sudden, it may have meant sudden goodbyes to family. Mothers and daddies might have been there with their children and their grandchildren. And now the husband says, honey, we've got to go. God's changed our course. God has said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go with the king. If God knocks on your heart tonight, says, I need you to go with me, Would you be willing to go? Would you follow him? Would you say, yes, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Sudden goodbyes to family and friends. But they were controlled by the Spirit. Many churches fail today because their members do not work together. They are divided. Some pull one way, some pull another way. Some are just stubborn and won't pull anyway. But God is not the author of confusion. God is not divided. The psalmist said in Psalm 133 in verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The touch of God brings harmony and it brings love. It enables us to accomplish God's work and God's will in our life in the unity of the Spirit. Ministries fall apart. Works go down. Christians become cold and calloused and complainers when they are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. When they lose the touch of God. May God help us tonight to have His touch. To desire His touch. To plead for His touch. And for His control in our lives, our church, and our community. Are you committed tonight to Him? Are you yielded to Him? Are you willing to let Him control your heart and your life? You see, as I said, this matter of missions, it's not just about money. It takes money to get the missionaries to the field and to get the works going there. I realize that. But it takes us being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. It requires our being under His control, that He can speak to our heart and say, I want you to do this and I want you to do the other. I want you to give here. I want you to go there. And when we are each one committed, when we are each one yielded, when we're each one surrendered to doing what God wants us to do, then the message of God will go out and hearts will be touched and changed for His glory. Are we committed? These men had been touched by God. Saul didn't ask these men to go. Samuel didn't say, hey, I want this group of men over here. I want you to go with Saul. From this point on, wherever he goes, you go. Samuel didn't do that. Even the nation of Israel that was gathered that day for this time of appointing a king did not say to this group of men, we need you to go. But they had been touched by God. You see, the preacher can't tell you how much you're supposed to give to missions. He can't tell you how much your responsibility is to this church for this coming year. You know the only one that can tell you that? That's the God in heaven. And when you and I commit our lives to Him and surrender our all to Him and say, Lord, here I am, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll be what you want me to be, just let me know what I need to do. Amen. They had been touched by God. They had been changed in their hearts. They were under the control of His Spirit. And as a result, they became committed to this. This commitment, as far as I can tell, was a lifetime commitment. As far as I know, we never read anywhere in the scripture. And if you can find a place, let me know. I will get up tomorrow night and say I was wrong. But I never find or see a place in the scripture where you read of these men going back or changing their minds. They knew he was the one God had let become the king. And their allegiance was to him. They had had a word from God. And that's what missions is all about, is our having a word. Not from the preacher, but from God. When you and I do what God speaks to our hearts about, God will supply the need of our mission work. He'll supply the needs of our church. He'll supply our personal needs when we are willing to do what God wants us to do and make a commitment to Him and yield ourselves to His Holy Spirit. Oh, my dear friend, how our commitment should be so definite, should be so intense, should be so determined. We so often give up too easily. We throw up our hands and quit when we're resented or we're rebuked or when we fail to get our own way. But the touch of God gives us courage to keep our commitments, because these commitments are not to people. I give to missions not for the congregation, but because God has spoke to my heart and said, this is what I want you and your family to do. The touch of God gives us courage to keep our commitments even when it doesn't look for sure like it's going to come through. Have you ever had one of those faith experiences? One of those trying experiences when you reach out by faith and God says, this is what I want you to do, and you set out to do it, and 2 or 3 weeks into that commitment you've made to God, all of a sudden something breaks down, something falls apart, something goes awry, and you say, Lord, I just don't know whether I can keep this up or not. Well, you can't keep it up. But God can keep it up for you and through you when you're trusting Him. When our hearts are committed to His will. There's been a lot of times, and I'm sure Brother Wilkins could testify to the same effect of how many times the devil has said, you know, if you didn't give so much money to missions, you'd be in a lot better financial shape. But if you just keep giving, and you just keep going, and you just keep believing, and you just keep trusting God, God will see you through. If it's a commitment that is made from your heart to Him. Amen. Just to do what God wants you to do. Oh, may our commitment be as definite and as intense as these men's commitment was. The touch of God gives us courage to keep our commitments. Christ furnishes the strength which enables us to keep on keeping on. But fourthly, I want to look at verse 27. And you see the consequences of not having the touch of God. The consequences. What were the consequences? Well, I see three things here in this verse. Verse 27, the first part of that verse, you'll find that These men were discontented with God's direction. But the children of Belial said, who are they? That word Belial means it's defined as worthless ones. The children of the worthless ones said, how shall this man save us? What can he do for us? How can he rescue me? How can he provide me what I need? I don't like him, never have liked him, never will like him. I don't know why God would do such a thing as to put this man Saul over us, and I want nothing to do with him. And many times, if we're not careful, that critical spirit will slip into our hearts, into our lives, and we will become discontented with God's direction and what God wants from our life. And we'll blame God for all that's gone wrong when the problem is we are the ones that's gone out of God's will. And so they become discontented. Here we've got a king. I don't know why we had to go through all of this. But not only that, they despised God's director. Look at verse 27 again. How shall this man save us? And they despised him. They disdained him. They scorned him. They spoke vile of him. They spoke contemptible of Saul. They could not stand him. So many times when a church begins to follow God's leadership and begin to give and begin to go and begin to do and begin to reach out into the regions beyond, there'll be those that will rise up in disdain. And they'll scorn missions and they'll ridicule missions and they will say contemptible things about the work of God. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what voice you hear. But see, then they dishonored God's directive. In the latter part of verse 27, the Bible said they brought him no presents. Everybody that came to the meeting to honor Saul as the king brought a present. Except those that didn't like what was going on. And my dear friend, when God lays it on our hearts to give, and our people are giving, our church is going forward, we're taking on missionaries, we're seeing God's word scattered around, there will be those in the background that will have no gift to bring. But just take Saul's advice here. The latter part of this verse, the last five words, but he held his peace. Saul was just quiet. He kept his silence. He didn't say a word. He held his tongue. And to be honest, sometimes that's hard to do. When people are criticizing and ridiculing the work of God and the things of God, and when we're taking on missionaries and people don't understand why we're doing it, because we have felt in our heart that's what God wants us to do. We took on the two missionary families that was with us in our mission conference. Fact is, we took them on before they ever came, and we voted on them the Sunday before our mission conference and then took them on while they were there. And I've not heard any resentment. And there shouldn't be any resentment. Amen. God has blessed our church financially in the general fund. He's blessed our mission fund. He's blessed every avenue of our financial status since we've been involved in Faith Promise. I stand amazed in his presence tonight. But there will be those that will not have a heart beat for God. And they'll think your heart's beating too loud for God. But don't listen to those that are discontented. You follow your heart's direction in doing what God wants you to do. May I say to you, if we're going to worship God tonight, our hearts have to be changed. If we're going to not be deceived by the enemy, our hearts will have to be changed. If we're going to believe God, our hearts are going to have to be changed. If we're going to have a church that God will bless, we'll have to be a church that has hearts that have been changed. If we're going to continue on in God's way, we're going to have hearts that are changed. The only way we can be a transformed Christian and not conform to this world is to have our hearts changed for God. If we're not going to fret and worry, we must have our hearts touched by God. If we're going to be the right kind of saint and have the right burden for sinners, our hearts are going to have to be changed and touched by God. If we're going to be a good soldier, our hearts have to be touched by God. If we're going to really trust God, our hearts have to be changed and touched by God. If we're not going to be idle, we have to have our hearts touched by God. If we're going to receive true and declare His truth, we must have a heart that's touched by God. Has God touched your heart? Are you looking to Him? Are you following Him? Are you following Him because someone else is following Him? Are you following Him because people are looking, and if they don't see you giving or going or excited or happy, then you are afraid of what they might think of you? These men didn't ask for anybody's opinion. The Bible just says that these were men whose hearts were touched by God. And they left this ordination service, this coronation for the king, picked up their families from wherever they lived. Some of them probably said goodbye to their mamas and their daddies at that meeting. They said, "Mama, we got to go. Daddy, we got to go. God's touched our heart, and we don't have a choice." I'm sure that was hard to see those little grandchildren leave out from there. Didn't know when the next time would be when Grandma and Grandpa would get to see them little ones. But they knew that their family had been touched by God. And they did what God wanted them to do. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do tonight? Are you willing to let Him touch your heart? Are you willing to go wherever God may want you to go? To minister to whoever God may want you to minister to? Are you willing to be whatever God wants you to be? Give you a little thing. We have a family coming to our church, the Capadons. And every Sunday morning before they come to church, they take little baggies and they put tracts from our church and they put a $5 bill, and they go to the laundromats and hand out $5. Nobody's turned down the envelope yet. Everybody's taken the money. And now they've got one of our tracks, and it's proof. Some of them now, he said the other day that the other laundromat they were going to there in town, nobody shows up on Sunday morning anymore because they've been coming and handing out gospel tracts, and they won't care about the money. They just want to hear the gospel. Something you may try. It may work in your part of the country here. I don't know. But listen, whatever God wants us to do, whatever God calls you to do, have you got a heart that's been touched by God? Have you got a heart that you would let God take and use for His glory and for His honor? If this church continues to go forward as it's going forward now, it's going to take each one of us to be touched by God, to continue the work, to do the ministry that God wants Grace Baptist Church to do. Do you love Him? Are you willing to give your all to Him? Would you let God touch your heart tonight? May we stand. Brother Darrell will be coming. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts tonight. Father, help us to be changed. Help us to be committed. Help us to be yielded totally and completely to you. Oh, Heavenly Father, please touch us tonight. May you work in the hearts of this people. May they be willing to give, to go, to pray, whatever it is that you'd have them to do for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.